appreciate the prayer. I neglected to mention one of our song leaders, Brother Jimmy Bennett. He's with his job responsibilities. He has to be on call when these storms come in, so he's tending to that business, making sure that folks are safe and things are handled in a safe manner. But want to pray for him as well. He's got big responsibilities. If you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to talk about the subject of casting your care upon him. As we go through this season, it seems that we're in navigating the natural storms and the difficulties that come with that, and on top of that, just the spiritual storms that so many people are going through. I know that there are a number of folks that we love and that are near and dear unto us that are just going through great battles right now. And if I were to ask you the question this morning, are there things that you're anxious about? Probably every one of you would raise your hands. Whether you're worried about the storm or concerned about the impact of the past storm that we had on friends and loved ones and the natural storms that we have that inevitably come with having relationships with other people and just the difficulties of the world that we live in today, every one of us would probably say we have lots of things that we're anxious about. There are things that even as your pastor, I am anxious about. And I'm not afraid to admit that. Sometimes people want to portray themselves as having everything together and not worrying about everything. There's things that I'm anxious about. I'm anxious about all of you, the responsibility that God has given me to minister unto you and your well-being. And there's times where you get anxious and get, you know, what the Bible says here, you have these cares that just weigh you down. Well, the good news is that by the grace of God, we have a manner in which we can navigate the anxieties of life. And let me make this distinction. When we talk about the cares that we have, and we talk about anxiety, and that's what we're going to see in verse 7, that word care literally means anxiety. I understand that there are folks that have medical conditions. They have issues with their brains and brain chemicals that cause them to have anxieties that are abnormal because of health issues they have. But I want you to understand that there is a general anxiety that we have because we live in a sin-cursed earth and we have these burdens that we have to bear. And I want us to see this morning, by God's grace, there is hope, there is peace, there is a solution to the cares that we bear about here in this world. And we're going to see that the Scriptures teach us that it's none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says we're to cast all of our cares upon him. Now, I'm deviating from what we've been doing over the past several weeks as we've been looking at some of the Bible basics. But in a sense, this is one of those truths that I think we constantly need to be reminded of, that we constantly need to recall in our lives, because it's a simple but wonderful truth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, the Apostle Peter, he writes these short verses that are some of the most profound and some of the most touching verses in all of God's Word. He says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now the good news is we understand this morning that this was written to God's people. This was written to those who have been saved by the grace of God. And I'll submit unto you, this was written to folks that comprise the church of the Lord Jesus Christ during that time. So I want you to understand, even though we're saved, even though we're born again by the Spirit of God, we have cares. We have anxieties. We have those things that keep us up at night. We have those things that make us fearful. And the word care here literally means an anxiety or a concern. The word, if you go back to the Greek, it's a picture word, and it's a picture of someone bearing about a noticeable weight. Someone bearing something around that is noticeable, that it's a burden to them. It's something that you just don't brush off. And man, the difficulties that we have in this life, there are some things that no matter what people say, they're weights, they're heavy, they bear on us and they trouble us. But I'm thankful that we see from God's word, we have someone that we can cast those cares upon. I don't want to stand before you this morning and say that it's easy, but by the grace of God, we have only authority of scriptures that we can cast our cares upon him. You know, there is a healthy concern. I think that there's a healthy worry that we should have as God's people. I hope that we're concerned about the affairs of our world. I hope that we're concerned about pervasive evil. I hope that we're concerned and we have the cares of those that are being mistreated, those that are being taken advantage of in our world. There are normal concerns, but then there are those weights and burdens that we carry because we live in this world that we, as God's people, carry around, and oftentimes we carry them around and we forget the simple truth that there is an answer to these burdens. There's an answer to these anxieties. We carry them around. I'm guilty of it. There's things that I worry about that ultimately I don't have a lot of control over. There's things that I worry about that on the surface I say that I've given it over to the Lord, but I still carry them around. That's not healthy as well. There are things that we worry about that haven't even happened yet. Are you that type of worrier? What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm thankful for today, but what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, somebody once said, you know, there's different kinds of anxiety. You know, there's regret that carries yesterday's burdens, that carries yesterday's troubles. And then there's stress that carries today's burdens and today's anxieties. And then there's worries that are thinking about tomorrow's burdens. I remember when I first started pastoring a church in the Panhandle, we had the sweetest old deacon there. He's gone, and he's been gone for a while and is with the Lord now. And every once in a while, he just couldn't help but worry about tomorrow. He said to me on more than one occasion, he said, "Brother Michael, things are going so well right now. I'm so thankful for it, but I'm just worried that, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Things just can't be this good all the time." And he was legitimately worried about things that had not had any remote chance of happening yet. But we do that. We carry regret. That's one of the loads that we carry. We carry the stress of the day. We live in a stress-filled society, don't we? You know, I see some of you. You turn on the National Geographic Channel or the Discovery Channel, and they go to some of these so-called primitive lands out there in our world, and you know, these folks are just—they seem to be just as relaxed as they can be. They don't have all the conveniences that we have, and they're not connected by the iPhone and the internet and everything. And sometimes I'm envious of that. With all of our conveniences, it brings about so much stress in the days that we're living in. And then we worry about tomorrow. We worry about the things of tomorrow that haven't even happened yet, and that paralyzes us. My friends, we're to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. I think in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, when he was speaking to the disciples, he said this to them about worrying about the things of the future. He says, therefore take no thought, he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now I want you to understand, he was speaking to disciples who were there with him that I believe had those things at the moment. Now, in the moment, they had what they needed. They had food, they had drink, they had clothes on their back, but they were worrying about tomorrow. They were burdened about things that had not happened yet. And I was convicted about this not too long ago. How many times do we allow the worries of tomorrow to hinder the joy that we have today? You know, I don't know if I'm going to have bread tomorrow. How can I enjoy the bread that I have today? Well, we can enjoy it because Jesus Christ said this in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what's it about tomorrow that worries you? You know, maybe it's health issues, maybe family troubles, financial issues that you may be going through, or big decisions, looming decisions that you have going on, or societal issues that have you just tied up in knots. Jesus Christ says, don't worry. He says, sufficient for today is the evil thereof. And the good news is he has grace for today. He has grace for the regrets of the past. Again, I've mentioned it, and I'll mention it over and over again. Sometimes we allow past decisions to keep us mired in regret so we never move forward in life. The grace of God covers that. The stress that we're enduring today, the grace of God is sufficient for whatever stresses lie ahead for us today. You know, sometimes, do you ever get up in the morning? Now, I'm telling on myself. You ever get up in the morning before your feet hit the floor, you start stressing about everything that you've got to do for the day. Give it to the Lord. His grace is sufficient. And then the worry of tomorrow, His grace is sufficient. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to, if we have time, I want to look at three things here in these two verses that should encourage us as God's people to live a life of trusting in Him, and a life where we're habitually casting our cares upon Him. And there's three things that we see here. We read verses 6 and 7, and we're going to spend a lot of time in verse 7, but to understand verse 7, you've got to understand what the commandment is in verse 6. So Peter writes to these folks. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. If we're going to be in a place where we're habitually casting our cares upon the one who can actually do something about the difficulties that we're going through, it's going to take a constant work of humility in our lives. Humbling ourselves as God's people. That's the first one. We humbly submit unto Him. He says here, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The word humble, it literally means to be reduced in rank, or be reduced in status, or be reduced in power. Biblically speaking, it means a humility of character. When we humble ourselves as God's people, what we are saying is we understand we don't have the ability to take care of all of the issues that we have that will come up in our lives. We don't have the capacity. But it says here, we're to humble ourselves, it says, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humility says, I'm not able to take care of it, but I know one that does, and one that is able to take care of it. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every day for us as God's people should be a labor to be humble as we live our lives here in this world. Because here's the thing about regret. Here's the thing about stress. Here's the thing about worry. When we're mired in the cares of this world so much where it's paralyzing us in our service to God and ministering to other people, what we're doing, we're really acting out in pride, aren't we? If we take an honest look at it, that's what we're doing. If we're getting torn up about the affairs of this world to the point where it's paralyzing and it's causing us to be despondent and causing us to be discouraged, I'll submit unto you, it's because we think that we are able to handle the problems ourselves by ourselves. But no, we're called to humble ourselves. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of humility. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, speaking of Jesus, Paul says, who, being in the form of God, said, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is speaking about Jesus when He was here in this world. Verse 7, He says, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And notice this, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If there was ever anyone that had the right to demand everything in this world go his way, it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He would have been just as right to do whatever He wanted to do in this world. But He The Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient. Became obedient, it says, unto death. We need to humble ourselves. Being humble means that we're going to obey the Lord. And the commandment that we have in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5 is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Jesus Christ, God comes down. And it says that he humbled himself and he became obedient. It says, unto death, even the death of the cross. My friends, whatever we're called to do here in this world greatly pales in comparison. And that's the understatement of the year, but greatly pales in comparison to what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He bore our sins on that cross. He laid down his life for the sins of his people. Whatever cross we're called to bear here in this world is but a small thing in comparison to what he has done for us. And the burdens that we bear, the things that we carry. I want you to understand, Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, he paid for it all. We all bear crosses. We sing that hymn, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the saints go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Oftentimes, though, we lament over the cross that we're called to carry here in this world. But understand, Jesus bore all of that on the cross and made the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. I remember reading a story one time of an individual. He was carrying around his cross, and he grumbled and he complained about his cross. He got tired of his cross, and he went to the cross store where there were all kinds of other crosses that were in there. He sets his cross down and starts trying on different crosses in that store. And he spends hours and hours and hours looking at these different crosses, trying them on, till he finally finds the perfect cross and he puts it on and he goes to the storekeeper. He says, "I found the right cross." Well, the storekeeper says, "Well, that's the cross that you came in with." Understand, the crosses that we bear, the Lord knows how much we can bear in this world. He is going to give us the grace sufficient for whatever trials we have here in this world. Isn't that a blessing to think about? So he says, humble yourselves. Therefore, he says, under the mighty hand of God. Aren't you thankful we just don't humble ourselves to just random folks here in this world or random ideologies or some impersonal God that's afar off? He says, humble yourselves. He says, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How do we humble ourselves? He says we humble ourselves under, we put ourselves under the mighty hand of God. There's different parts of the Bible where we have these anthropomorphic representations of God, and we have the picture here of God's hand. God doesn't literally have a hand like we have a hand, but the picture here is humble yourselves under the power of God. When it talks about the hand of God in Scripture here, it's talking about the sovereign, omnipotent God over all. We don't humble ourselves randomly or arbitrarily here in this world. We humble ourselves under the hand of the Almighty, who has all things under control and all things under his power. Isn't that a wonderful hope this morning? What stress are you carrying about this morning? When we humble ourselves under the hand of the Almighty God. The Almighty, unstoppable God, who the Bible says he can do whatever he pleases. Peter writes to the church and writes to us. He says we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the God that rules over all. Now, this is interesting. The ones that Peter wrote to in the context of the early church, as he wrote to these churches that were scattered out in that area, things were going to get a lot harder for them. Things were going to get worse for them. And if you study historically, there was a lot of persecution during the time that Peter was inspired by God to write this letter, but it was going to get worse for those that were reading this letter. Peter would eventually be martyred for the cause of Christ, and many of those that he wrote to during this time were going to suffer greatly, but understand, God was still in control. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. Nothing is going to catch God by surprise. You know, things get by me all the time. There are things that still surprise me. I told my folks at work, don't ever say anymore that nothing else will ever surprise me, because here comes something along the way that's going to surprise and blow our minds. We are finite, but nothing catches God by surprise. I like this. This verse here over the last few weeks has been one that I've been brought back to many times. But the wise man Solomon, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, he says this. This speaks of the sovereignty of God. This speaks of the omnipotence and the omniscience of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, it says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Isn't that wonderful? That speaks of the sovereign God who we are called to humble ourselves under his hand. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't ultimately know what's going to happen with the natural storm that's out there right now. We don't know how people are going to act. There's a lot of people that are crazy in this world now, plotting and devising against those that would try to live humble lives here in this world, plotting. Satan is the deceiver of the brethren, and he's always conniving and trying to cause chaos. We see here, many are the devices of a man's heart, but nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We can cast our cares upon him, because whatever happens in this world, the counsels of the Lord shall stand. Oh, in Isaiah chapter 61, again, Israel was suffering the judgment of God because of the paths that they had taken in this world. They constantly disobeyed God's commandments. They constantly ignored his warnings of judgment, and judgment came, and chaos was in the land of Israel. But even in the midst of their self-inflicted trouble that they found themselves in, there was that hope in God. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," he writes, "because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Verse 2, he says, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion," notice this, "to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Humble yourselves under the hand of the Almighty God, who's able to bless us in the midst of our messes that we create. Bless us in the midst of suffering the effects of living in a sin-cursed earth, suffering the effects of other wicked folks. His counsel shall stand. So whatever happens in this world, God's grace is sufficient. He will protect us through the difficulties of this life. Now, the key for us as God's people is to humble ourselves and by God's grace, get to a place where we lower our concept of ourself and lower that mistaken notion that we're able to solve all the problems and trust that he is able to. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, the other part of that in verse 6 says that he might exalt you, or he may exalt you in due time. And that's the great God that we serve. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we trust that he will exalt us in good time. You know, ultimately in this world, if we leave this world, it's a blessing for us, isn't it? You know, that's the great day of exaltation, when we close our eyes in death in this world and awaken the presence of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? But God is faithful to hear our prayers. He knows what we stand in need of, and he knows how to lift you up in due time. Now, the opposite of this in verse 6 is if we continue to lift ourselves up in pride, he'll put us in our place. He's got ways of humbling us if we choose not to humble ourselves. But when he does humble us, it says he may lift us up, that he may lift us up in due time. In Proverbs chapter 30, I think of what the psalmist writes in there. It speaks about the Lord. It says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, but his favor in his, but a moment, in his favor is life. He says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Maybe you're in that weeping season right now due to the circumstances of life. Rest assured, joy comes in the morning. Whatever load you're bearing this morning, he will pick you up. He will bless you. Well, what do I do in the meantime, Brother Michael? While life is beating me up, while I have these burdens? Well, he says, cast all your care upon him. That's what verse 7 is about. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So you're in this act of navigating the difficulties of this life, and you've got the burdens. You're striving to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In the interim, while we're going through those difficulties, he does not leave us alone. He says we're to cast our cares upon him. You know, you've got that command in verse 6, but then you've got that promise in verse 7. That we can cast our cares upon him. A lot of the anxieties, and I'm talking about myself a lot this morning, but I'm not too good that I can't be a bad example. So I want you to understand, a lot of the anxieties that I have, they come because I think I can handle my problems on my own. You know, I've got this thing under control. I can deal with this temptation. I can deal with all of this pressure that's coming on. And so many times, we're all guilty of that, where we think that we have the resources where we can handle the problems that we're dealing with. Or we think that we're strong enough. Humility says we are not. Humility is an acknowledgement that I can't get the job done. But my friends, I'm thankful to, I think of another hymn that we sing a lot here. Aren't you thankful? What a friend we have in Jesus, though. What a friend we have in Jesus. I was thinking about that hymn this morning. All the needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Needless pains we bear. That's not biblical, but that's truth. How many needless pains do we bear because we neglect in our pride to give it over to the Lord? Guilty. I'm guilty. But may we humble ourselves. But then as we go on, I want us to see as well that from Scripture in verse 7, we have this picture of casting or relinquishing our cares upon him. You know, there's sometimes in life where we just got to let things go. To quote the movie that played over and over in my house when my kiddos were a lot younger, let it go, let it go. So what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is talking about. You're singing that in your head right now. I know you are. It's burned into my brain because of having little kids. But it's truth. He says, cast all your care upon you, for he careth for you. The word casting here means to put something on someone else. My nature, and probably a lot of it is pride, I don't like to burden other people. I don't like to be a bother to other people. I like to be as unobtrusive as possible when I'm having difficulties, and it gets me in trouble. My wife can tell you there are projects that I take on and around the house that they would go a whole lot better if I just asked for some help. We deal with that with our own burdens. We don't want to put them on someone else, but we have one that's able to bear it, and we're commanded to as God's people. He says, cast all your cares upon him. The word casting here, again, it's a word picture. Again, it's putting an object, taking an object from one person and putting it on another person. It's a picture of like, well, back when I was younger, when you used to go to the bank and actually interact with people, when you had to take your paycheck or take your deposit slip and hand it to someone else, that's the picture. It's taking an object or a sum or a debt and taking it from yourself and putting it on another person. It goes even deeper than that when you think about this word casting. It's not just a gentle giving over of it. You know, back 100 years ago when I had to actually take my check to the bank and get my check cashed or put my check into a bank account, that was an exciting time. It wasn't just a matter of, you know, I just lightly handed it over. There was intention. Here, take this and give me some cash because I've got bills to pay. I want you to see there's an emphasis to this casting that he's talking about. in Luke chapter 19 and verse 35, when Jesus Christ, and when they brought this donkey to Jesus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 35, it says they brought him to Jesus, speaking of the donkey, and it says that they cast their garments upon the colt and they sat Jesus on him. What that meant was they threw their coats on there. I want you to see this word casting. It literally means to hurl something with energy and hurl something with effort. When I got paid on Friday 100 years ago, I made it to the bank, and with emphasis, I gave them that check, and I got the money back. Well, the burdens that we bear about, the anxiety, the stresses, the regrets, the worries, he's literally saying here, we're to hurl them to the one who can bear it for us. Throw it to the Lord. Don't play around with it, is what it's talking about. This is talking about a decisive act. Cast your cares upon him. You got cares this morning, that's what we need to do. Cast them on the Lord. And I want you to understand it as we dive into verse 7 even more. I want you to understand this is a personal experience that we have with the Lord as God's people. Sometimes people say, well, I want a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, good news, child of God, you have one. Because it says here, we go back to verse 7, let's read it. It says, casting all your care upon him. All of your care. You talk about personal care. We have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My friends, we have access to God. We have access to God through prayer. We can pray unto God, and he hears our prayers through Jesus Christ, our intercessor. We can personally pray unto the Lord. And I believe this. Well, let me ask you this question. Have you prayed about the burdens you're going through? Have you really prayed about it? Here's what we're good at doing, and sometimes we don't even do this. When we have a burden, we're good about asking other people to pray for us. We do that, and that's right. There is a ministry that we're to have as all of God's people to intercede for others in prayer. But I think what Peter is talking about right here is something far more personal. We can take our situations to the Lord in prayer ourselves, and he hears our prayers, and he cares about us. It's one thing for me to ask you to pray for me, but I think there's a great blessing in the Lord is pleased when I go to the Lord with the problems that I have. You know, and I forgot to mention it this morning, but we always want to remember the unspoken prayer requests that are out there. There's things that aren't appropriate for us to tell other people for one reason or another, but we can tell them to the Lord personally. You know, sometimes I think we come and we don't open up to the Lord fully, but he already knows what we're going through. Don't be afraid to confess your faults to the Lord. He already knows. You're not keeping anything secret from him. We cast our cares upon him, our worries, our regrets, our stresses. He already knows, but he says we're to cast our cares, hurl them upon him with emphasis and with zeal. Ask other people to pray for you. That's appropriate, but that's not all that there is to it. I don't think that that will sustain us by itself. He says we're to cast our cares upon him. Do it yourself. We have a personal relationship with our Lord. We have access to him. I remember in John chapter 21, and I always think about this when I think about us having a personal relationship with the Lord. Remember, Jesus, he's come back now after he had been crucified. He walked amongst his disciples before he ascended up unto the Father, and he interacted with those that were closest unto him, and those that forsook him, and Peter that denied him thrice and forsook him. On the shores of Galilee in John chapter 21, Jesus was there and he appeared unto them, and they see him and they come unto him, and that was the exchange that Jesus had with Peter when he asked him three times, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And he said to Peter, "You know, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And the heat was getting turned on there with Peter. And Peter, like we're apt to do, tried to deflect. And he looked over at John and said, looked over at John and asked Jesus, "What shall this man do?" Like, okay, things are getting heated here. What about John? Jesus rebukes him and he says, Unto Peter he says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You've got burdens that you need to have help with. Confess them to the Lord. Cast them upon him. Go to other people. But you've got a great privilege, my friends, of going to the Lord with whatever's weighing you down and casting them upon him. It's a blessing. You know, some of the anxieties that we have are really intimate. We're not comfortable sharing them with other people, but we can with the Lord. So have you prayed about your problems sincerely? Like real, for real prayer. You know, it's easy just to gloss over everything and get rote and routine in our prayers, but we have the privilege of going to the Lord. Even in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ himself, he said this regarding prayer. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This ain't speaking about eternal life. This is speaking about our communication with God. For he, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I am guilty of being so shallow in my prayer sometimes that I'm not on my knees and casting them to the Lord as he's commanded me to. Out of pride, I don't do that, but we have that great privilege when we cast our cares upon him and knowing that he cares for us. This is a picture of persistence. We need to be persistent in doing this in the Lord. When you feel like praying, pray. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you don't feel like praying, pray and pray till you feel like praying. Do you get the point there? Pray. You say, well, I'm not very articulate. I can't put my words together very well. Well, that's okay, because we have an intercessor that translates our prayers into God. How many needless pains do we bear because in our pride we fail to take them to the Lord and cast our cares upon him? It's personal, my friends. Our God's not an impersonal God. We're not deists that believe that God got everything started and he just stands aloof from the rest of his creation. We can cast them on him. It's personal in that we can do that. We're called to do that as individuals. And I'm thankful as well. We don't have to go to a middleman. We cast them on him exclusively. There's a lot of folks that believe out in the world that you've got to go to a middleman and give your prayers to the priest and confess to the priest, and then the priest can expedite them up the chain of command and you know, all of that kind of nonsense, my friends. We cast our cares upon the Lord, and he hears them himself. We're not going to get put on hold when we cast our cares on him. You ever get put on hold? I'm thankful for this, but it's still equally frustrating. We live in a technological age now where you may not get put on hold, but you get a voicemail, and you leave your message, and then they'll call you back. Well, when are you going to call back? Who knows? if you call a bank, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have to sit here with the phone in my ear the whole time. But then you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and sometimes they don't even call you back. Or here's my favorite. They call you back and you get on there and then they hang up on you. God's not going to hang up on you. It says cast your cares on him. And I'll add this, we cast our cares on him exclusively. It says cast your cares on him and not them. I think that there are some things that is appropriate for us to unburden to the Lord and to the Lord alone. Sometimes we unburden things on our family members, our spouses, and our children, our family and friends, and they're not able to bear the weights. But we know one who is. Our God, he's the one that blesses us. Our God is sovereign, and I'll say this again. Our God, he has ways of drawing us unto him. Sometimes he allows us to get to the ends of our ropes so that we will get to this point. Cast our cares upon him. Oh, I think of that poem or that song. We don't sing it a whole lot, but what wonderful truths there are in it. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Cast your cares upon him. Psalm 55 and verse 22, the psalmist writes, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Now I ask you the question, who but God can make a promise like that? You can unburden yourself to me. I'm going to do the best I can to minister unto you and help you and encourage you, but there's only so much that I can do. Your spouse, your friends, no matter how well-intentioned they may be, they're going to fall short. But psalmist says here, we cast our burden upon the Lord. It doesn't say he might sustain us. It says he shall sustain us. And he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That talks about his sustaining grace in the midst of our trials. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're to trust in him. I read this past week, someone wrote, I can't remember who it was now, but they said, half-hearted trust is nothing but wholehearted unbelief masquerading as faith. Well, that's convicting, isn't it? We trust half-heartedly so many times, but we serve the God over all. We serve the God that's not one of many options, but he is the one true and living God. We cast our cares upon him. That's a personal thing. We cast our cares upon him in that he is the exclusive one that is able to truly bear our burdens. And I want you to see here that this casting of our cares upon him is a commandment to cast our cares completely on the one who is able to bear our burdens. Cast our cares upon him, it says, for he careth for you. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, the Apostle Paul would write this, in the midst of being under house arrest, in the midst of his freedom being taken away from him for the very simple fact that he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, here was one that, you know, from a natural perspective, had all the reason in the world to be anxious and worried about his well-being. He was under house arrest. He was living his life as a prisoner. But notice what he says in verses 6 through 7 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says here that we're to cast it all upon him. And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And here's the good news. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The same hope that the psalmist had in the psalm that we just read, the same hope that Solomon had in Proverbs that we just read, was the same hope that the Apostle Paul had in the midst of being a prisoner for the gospel of Christ. That is the same hope that we have. We take everything to God by prayer. It says, don't just cast some of your cares upon him. It doesn't say just cast those one things that you're just thinking of at the moment. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't be afraid to tell him all of it. Now, God is never going to get tired of hearing from you. He's not ever going to grow weary as you come back to him. Like if you're like me, you come back to him for the 500th time with the same problem. He is never going to grow weary of that. I've reached the stage in my life, and maybe that's telling me something about my future mental capacities, where I repeat stories in my house now. I'll go and say something to my wife, and she'll say, well, you've already told me that. Or I'll tell the same old stories. The kids are tired of hearing my stories. God's never tired of hearing our stories. Hearing about our needs. We're to cast all of our cares upon him. When it talks about all means all in this context here. All of your cares, cast them upon the Lord. And this all, when it speaks of completeness, I believe it's speaking of this. Cast all of your cares upon him and then not take them back. That's where I'm guilty. I'll cast my cares upon him and I'll just start gathering them back up again. No, we're not to do that because we serve the God of all glory. I think of Psalm 90. This psalm came to mind earlier this week. Just talks about the satisfaction that comes from the Lord. It says in verse 14 of Psalm 90, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." And as I read this was convicting, but what an encouragement. I hope that every day before our feet hit the floor, that we spend time with the Lord. Before we start our day, that we would take time and pray unto the Lord and have quiet time with the Lord and have fellowship with Him before the busyness of the day. And you know, I thought about this. How long should we be spending time with God in the mornings and our devotion times with Him? Well, I think a good indicator is Psalm 90 and verse 14. Till we get to the point where we can rejoice and be glad in our days, no matter what we're facing in that day. A lot of us have big responsibilities in our jobs. A lot of us have stressful jobs. A lot of us have stress caring for those that we love and navigating our own health issues and our own financial issues and the issues of our kids. But I'm thankful in the midst of it all, we can cast all of our cares upon Him, and He will bless us, and we can have rejoicing, and we can have gladness in spite of the things that we're going through. And a wonderful blessing. You know, God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. What we have to do is get to the point in our attitudes and our actions where we remember that. When we can get to that point, that helps us in our outlook when we have to go to work tomorrow morning. We have to deal with difficult family members, or we have to bear the burdens of caring for someone that can't care for themselves, or we have to bear with the challenges that come with those that we love. We can deal with family. We can deal with trials when we remember these great things. And then we have what I like to refer to as a blessed assurance here. We've already seen what we are to do with our cares. Cast them upon Him. And now I want to spend a few minutes on the why. Why do we cast our cares upon Him? For He careth for you. Our God cares for us. He cares for us greater than anyone else can in this world. You ever had somebody say that they care about you and then their actions dictate otherwise? That happens a lot in this world, this broken world that we live in. A lot of people claim to care about you and they're just using you. Then there's a lot of people that care about you, but just the frailties of the flesh, they may overlook you. They may get busy with their own stuff. He cares about you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, far greater than anyone else will in this world. He cares about us. I remember John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world." We understand that's speaking about His people. He loves His elect. He loves His people so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for them. He loves His church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for us." He loves us as the church. He cares for the church. He cares for His elect. And what He says here in verse 7 is that He cares for you. God cares. You see the hand of God in verse 6, speaking of His power and His might. Now we see the heart of God in that He cares. You can throw all of the weight of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's a wonderful blessing. We'll stop there. Time got away from us some more. We could spend all day long talking about the God who cares for us. We've got plenty of anxiety that we could talk about all day long if we're being truthful, but we're to cast it upon the God who has delivered us and the God who has saved us. I'm so thankful for your attention this morning. And whatever comes this next week, natural storms, spiritual storms, let us be faithful to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time, and may we cast our cares upon Him. Let's turn to Psalm